Okay, so this came up in the context of the Noda Bihuda. As I mentioned, reading the continuation of the Noda Bihuda, when he talks about doing tshuva, it's really interesting. I'll start off with that, because it's just very interesting, some of the things that he says. But Bikesh Ma'alasom Imenu L'sader L'bal Tshuva Zet Tshuva Al Avono V'Hizkir Shu Adam Chalush Ma'od Lo Yispal Koshi Hatanesim V'Sigufim Gam Hizkir Niflos Mehasmadas Limudo Yomam V'Layla. So he says, not only is this person a tremendously weak person, so you can't handle a lot, but he's just learning day and night. Ve'eno sach sicha b'teila klal. He doesn't even talk, you know, dvar b'teilim. Ve'eno shochev. It just gets funnier. Ve'eno shochev b'layla b'mita klal. He doesn't even sleep on a bed. Like, I guess that means his own bed. He doesn't sleep in his own bed. But, so, okay, Lemaisa, this is clear. No, and I just want to point out, because human beings are so strange, like, this is a concept that can exist in real life. Like, it doesn't, and it's I'm sad to say it, we hear it from time to time about Rabbanim or Rebbeim or things like that who disappoint us tremendously by doing things which are unacceptable and, you know, sometimes unspeakable. And it doesn't, I don't know if I'm alone in thinking this, but I don't think that invalidates everything that they ever did. I just think it's still inexcusable. Meaning, just because someone does something that's so wrong that they now need to be removed from this field and they can't, you know, and they can't really be brought back, that doesn't mean that everything they ever taught you was done under false pretenses or anything like that. Now, it does mean, and the Gemara says it, that you cannot learn from a Rebbe whom you don't respect or you don't, you know, or you think that he has some acts of rishus that he does. That's definitely true. And it's not for me. Bigger and better people have said that, you know, you need to remove these people from the public sector and they're not you're not allowed to learn from them, etc. Okay, and I'm, you know, not for me to say otherwise. But one thing you see, even from this comment of the Noda Bihuda, is that it is possible people, they compartmentalize in their minds, and they, you know, and they it doesn't mean that this guy's learning is fake, and it doesn't mean that his Avera wasn't really such a big Avera. Both are true. His learning is real learning, and his Avera was a serious, real Avera. You know, and it happens. You know, it happens from time to time that people compartmentalize like that, and they can. And most people can't do that. Most people can't be extreme in that way, where they're committing extreme averos, and they're also committing extreme hasmada and lots of them. It could be he picked up once he wanted to be chozer b'tshuva. He really picked it up, and he. You know, that's where this is coming from. But okay, sacha kol, he's doing it. So he wanted to know what the idea is. Okay, so I'm not going to read a whole thing inside, but he does say a lot of fasting, and he tells him, I'm taking it easy on you, but basically in the summer months he has him fasting twice a week, in the winter months he has him fasting three times a week. He says it's good if you don't sleep in a bed, meaning it's really, he has a lot of serious tshuva for him to do. He quotes, he has a very interesting line. I forgot where it is over here. But he says, in terms of tfilos that you want to say, he has a lushan of, if you want to say like the newer types of tfilos, he's referring to tfilos that were written in the times of the early Achronim. There are many, quote-unquote, new tfilos that have popped up over the years. He says, you want to say your, I forgot the lushan he uses, you know what I'm talking about? He says, you want to say like your vegetables. He says, I prefer the fatty meat of Tehillim, of David HaMelech. You know, he says, you want to say your vegetable prayers, I'll say my main course prayers, and you know, of Tehillim and the real stuff. So okay, Lemaisa, he says a lot of things over here that are cute and interesting to know about. But Lemaisa, he's clearly recommending serious sigufim, and he says and serious fasting. Right, and he says in the end, he says the real tshuva is not to sacrifice a korban, not to sacrifice your physical self, but to sacrifice your yetzer hara through Torah. right? And through, he says, I'm being makel on the fasting, but you have to have serious charata and shviras halev and bechi. That zen nachutz ma'od. This is very pressing, very important. V'amarbe bebechi b'mistarim mishubach. And much better to cry in private. Crying in public is sometimes very easy to feel bad in public, but crying in private is really the main thing. Okay, whatever. So like the question that this brought up, the issue of, in general, how do we view worldly pleasures and how is a Jew supposed to relate to the concept of asceticism versus the concept of worldly pleasures? So I just wanted to start off by saying this is not a new topic and it's a very old topic and it's still being somewhat debated ad hayom hazeh. Right, and it's really, as we'll see through the sources. So let's look at the Gemara in Tainus on Daf Yud Aleph. Omar Shmuel. Shmuel says the following: Kol Ayoshe B'Tainus Nikra Chote. A person who takes on extra fasts is called a sinner. Sover Ki Hai Tana. So Shmuel's not making this up. He is accepting the opinion of the following Tana, the Tanya Rabbi Elazar Akapar Beribi. Right. I used to think that this meant that he was Rebbe's son. It doesn't mean that. It just means, that Rashi points out, it just means he was a great man. He was a gadol ador. So it says, Rebbe Elazar HaKapor, Omer, he says, Ma Talmud Lomar v'chiper alav me'asher chatal anavish. By the Nazir, it says, he should have a kapara because he sinned against a soul. V'chibeiz a nefesh chatazet. What soul did he sin against? Elishet tzir atzmo min hayayin. He pained himself by refraining from drinking wine. I don't know, just as a survey, how much wine have you guys drunk in the last few weeks? Right? So you're all sinners. You're all sinners, right? I don't know if grape juice counts, but what does it mean? He pained himself by refusing to drink wine, right? So he says, Uma ze shelot tzir atzmo, he's making a kavah chomer now. This guy only held himself back from one thing, from yayin. He's called a chote amitzar atzmo, kol dover v'dover, alachas kamav kamav. So kavah chomer, a person who refrains from all eating and drinking. Meaning wine is one thing. Like you guys could go a month without drinking wine by accident. You know, it's not that hard. But a guy doesn't fast by accident. You know, if you go a whole week with fasting, or you go a whole day with fasting, you're considered a sinner. You're a chote. That's how Shmuel wants to say. However, there is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Now, let's not get confused. This is Rabbi Elazar the Amora. Okay, Rabbi Elazar, the counterpart of Shmuel, he's an Amora. He says Nikra Kadosh, right? So we have Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar Akapar on one side, Shmuel the Amora, Rabbi Elazar Akapar the Tana, and Rabbi Elazar the Amora, he says he's Nikra Kadosh. How do we know? Shenemar Gadol Kadosh Yeh Gadol Peras Arosho. Right? So his locks of hair are considered holy from the Nazir. The Nazir, all he prevented himself was from drinking wine. He's called Kadosh. How much more so a person who fasts? So now they just ask, Akashu, L'shmuel ekre kadosh, hahu agido perakoi. He says that the Shmuel is called kadosh. That's talking about his hair. Reb Lezer anikra chote, hahu desoyev nafshe. If you look in context, that's because he was metame himself. That's why he's called chote, because he shouldn't have made himself tame. So there's a lot of back and forth here in terms of how you learn the psukim. But l'mais, at the end of the day, what we have here is a machlokes amoroim, which is really a machlokes tanoim, which is it a good thing or a bad thing to refrain from physical pleasure? Shmuel goes with the sheet of Rabbi Elazar HaKapar that it is a bad thing to refrain from physical pleasure. If something is mutter, then you should, you know, you should enjoy it. Rabbi Elazar the Amora goes by the opinion of the Chachamim, or the Rabbanan, or the Tanakama, whatever you want to call it, that he holds that it is a good thing to refrain from physical pleasure, and you're called holy if you do so. So this is a machlokes in the Gemara in Tainus. There are other dais that the Gemara quotes later on, but these are the Iker dais. Okay, so now let's look at the Rambam in terms of his psak on this Gemara. Shema Yomar Adam, lest a person say, Hol v'hakina v'hataiva v'hakavod v'chayotze bohem derech ro'a heinu motzienes adam in ha'olam. Right, you guys recognize that phrase? Hakina v'hataiva v'hakavod motzienes adam in ha'olam. Right, it's Pirkei Avos. Who's the author of the statement?
Father.
A little better. You're right, but you have to be more right. Rabbi Elazar HaKapper. Rabbi Elazar HaKapper. So the Rambam is saying it's a full statement. Akina hataiva vahakovod motzien es ha'adam min ha'olam. That's Rabbi Elazar HaKapper's statement in Pirkei Avos. And therefore, there a derech rom, and efrosh lohen biyosev es rachig letzad ha'acharon. I'm going to completely distance myself from it. Ad shelo yochal basar v'lo yishtei yayin, v'lo yisa isha, v'lo yeshiv b'dira noah, v'lo yilbosh malbosh noah. I'm not going to have any nice things. I'm not going to eat well, I'm not going to drink well, I'm not going to live well, I'm not going to wear any nice clothing. Asak v'atzemer akosha v'chayotzevem, kigon kohane ovde kochavim, like certain types of monks or whatever, ovde avodazara, who used to do this. Gamze, right? I don't know if you guys read that. You read the book, The Da Vinci Code? No? The Opus Dei, right? They engage and give themselves malchus, and they wear this like barbed wire band around their ankle that constantly puts them in pain, right? That's a type of Catholicism. So they okay, well, nice. So there's a there are a lot of people that believe in this stuff. Says the Rambam, Gamze derech ra'a hiva asur leilichba. So the Rambam is saying it's not a stira in Rabbi Elazar HaKapper. Rabbi Elazar HaKapper said, Akina v'ataiva v'hakavod motzien es adam min ha'olam. These midos, which we generally associate with a person who is physical, right? He gets jealous of people because he wants good stuff, like they have good stuff. Taiva, he wants to fulfill his worldly pleasures, right? Kavod. So these are things we associate. We say, oh, we got to get away from these things. You've got to become ascetic. Says Rav Lazar HaKapper, the Nazir is called a Chote as well. Says that is also a Derech Ra'a, and it's Asur Leilichba. Hamahalich b'derech zu nikra Chote, sharehu omer ben Nazir, b'chiper Allah men shachat ala nefesh. Amru chacham, ma Nazir shall appear, shall min ayayin, tzarech kapara, amone asmi kol dover dorach, is kama v'kama. L'fichach tzivu chacham, therefore our chachamim commanded us, there are 365 things that you should refrain from doing. That is what the Torah said. It's not enough. Enough isurim in the Torah. You got to make up new isurim. Right, and he goes through the elushim misanim tam in a bederech tovav asru chacham sheyadam misagif atzmo betaynis v'alkol advar meil v'chayotz v'tziva shlomo v'amar alti tzadik harbe v'altis chakem yoser lama tishomi. That's what Shlomo HaMelech means when he says, "Don't be a big tzadik." What do you mean, "Don't be a big tzadik"? Alti tzadik harbe. I think last time we checked, we like big tzadikim. He means don't do things that you decided are tzidkus, and the Torah never decided such a thing. So you see the Rambam paskins in favor of Shmuel, in favor of Elazar HaKapper, that one should not engage in ascetic type behavior, that it is forbidden, and it's the wrong path. And it's lest I go so far as to say, it's a cheap cop-out, the Rambam says. It's a cheap cop-out. You want an easy way out of avoiding kina, taiva, and kavod, so you go to the opposite extreme, and you don't enjoy any physical things, and like it becomes very easy to avoid kina, taiva, and kavod, because you have nothing, you experience nothing, you know. So it'll help temper your desires tremendously. So then, what was the Noda Yehuda talking about? What's the other day in the Gemara talking about? And more importantly, we have to ask ourselves the following question: why is there a mitzvah or multiple mitzvahs in the Torah of a nazir? Meaning this whole thing stems from the Nazir. So why is there a mitzvah in the Torah of being a Nazir if the whole thing is bad? If a Nazir is a sinner, why would the Torah prescribe a recipe for sinners? It's very strange. We have enough losases in the Torah. If you want to say, oh, the Torah is trying to show you what not to do, okay, so just have a pasuk. Thou shalt not be a Nazir. Right, the end. But and yet we see that there it's not so. We see the Torah has such a din of Nazir. So why does it exist? What's the point of it? So, like all good Jews, we will answer this question with a question. Right? So here we have a big stira in the words of the Rambam. If you look in source number 3, it's a quote from the Mora Nevuchim. You guys ever read the Mora Nevuchim? No, me neither. But I've read parts of it. It has three main sections. It has three main sections. Section 1 is philosophy, like general philosophy, Jewish philosophy, etc. Section 2 is explaining certain passages in Tanakh. And section 3 is Tamei HaMitzvos. So this is from section 3, Chelek Shlishi Perek Memches, from the Tamei HaMitzvos part of the Mora Nevuchim. The Tam Nezirus, Mevor Ma'od. By the way, he says a lot more about this, but this is a short version, I think. The Tam Nezirus, Mevor Ma'od, I can explain Nezirus to you. V'hu aprishus min hayayin asher hifsid min harishonim v'achronim. It's separating oneself from wine, which has caused great loss from earlier generations. Rabim v'atsumim kol harugav v'gam eila b'yayin shagu. He quotes the pasuk v'gam eila b'yayin shagu. Points out that wine and drunkenness in general has caused great losses amongst the Jewish people, and even great people have been brought down by the alcohol and the like. Uba midin ha-nezirus mashatira me'isser asher yaseh migefen hayayin. And therefore, one of the halachas of Nazir is he cannot get involved with wine at all. He can't eat grapes, raisins, etc. L'harchaka yisir asher yaspik la'odna mimenu davar atzarech. Ki hanishmar mimenu. Because a person who guards himself from it, nikra kadosh, he's called holy. V'husam b'madregas kohen gadol b'kedusha. You hear that? He's on the level of a kohen gadol. Ad shelo yitame afilu la'aviv le'imo kamohu. He can't even become tame to his parents. Zos ha'gedula mipnei shepiresh min hayayin. This level of greatness comes because he separated himself from wine. So what do you see from the Rambam? Being a Nazir, it's fantastic. Gevaldik. You're like the Kohen Gadol. Who wouldn't want to be like the Kohen Gadol? So there's a downside, unfortunately. You can't go to your parents' funeral. You can't go to the funeral of the 7 relatives that even a regular Kohen can go to. But it's for a good reason. It's because you're so kadosh, you're like on the level of a Kohen Gadol. It's interesting the way he looks at it. Normally we look at a Nazir. There are three things a Nazir's not allowed to do. He's not allowed to eat, you know, wine and grapes, etc. He's not allowed to become. He's not allowed to become tummy. He's not allowed to cut his hair and shave. Right? Ram says really only two. It's really only the wine and the haircuts. The tuma is really a natural result. It's a consequence of the other two actions. It's because you're disengaging from wine and from physicality, so you are now so kadosh that melee you can't become tummy either. So what's the pshat? What's the pshat? So, what's the rule? Right? What's the rule? Shnei ksuvim ha-machlishim zeh zeh. Ad sheyavo ha-kasev ha-shlishi v'yachriya b'nei. You have to have the third source to be machriya. And this, I think, is the standard teretz. You know, once upon a time, I thought I came up with it myself, and then I heard a million people say the same teretz, so it's probably right. Okay. So, source number 4. The Rambam, a perek earlier in Ilchus Deos. So he's discussing a person who has a problem with midos. And the Rambam is a big believer in the, you know, which is known as an Aristotelian concept of the Shvil HaZahav. He writes about it in the Mora, he writes about it in the Mishneh Torah, right? The Shvil HaZahav. I don't think in the Mishneh Torah he refers to it as the Shvil HaZahav. I think he refers to it as the Derech HaEmtzai, the middle path, right? The golden, I think the Aristotelian people call it the golden mean, right? So the Rambam's a very big fan of this. The middle of the road. Right? He says, so what do you do? How do you get there? He says, let's say you have really bad midos. Ketzadi refosam. How do you fix your problems? Mishu balchema, a person who's very angry. He gets angry, has a hot temper. Omrim lo lahanigatsmo, shem hukah v'kolo lo yargishkla. We teach him that you should be so mellow that even if people would curse you or hit you, it's like you don't even feel it. V'yelich b'zerek derech zuzman meruba. Should take this path for a long time. Ad she yis'aker hachema milibo. Until you completely uproot the anger from your heart. Or v'emugava lev, if you're a big balgaiva. Yanig atzmo b'bizayon harbe. V'yeshev lemata min hakol. You should sit in the worst seats. below everybody. V'yilbash below yeischavos hamevazos eslov shem. He should wear horrible looking clothing. V'chayotze b'dvarim elu ad sheyakor gova halevi menu. So what do you have to do? You can't take a moderate approach if you're already sick. Right? You have to... I guess the best mushel I could give for this is chemotherapy. Right? What's chemotherapy? It's basically you're poisoning yourself. Nebuch, a person, I mean, in this generation, it's hard to say that you don't know anybody who's had cancer. But it's really the machla of our generation. It's just you have a person with cancer, and it's these bad cells are taking over the body. So we have to destroy them. So we poison them. Right? That's why people are so anti-chemotherapy. It's the best thing we've got. But the reason you understand why people don't like it, because you're basically ingesting poison into your bloodstream. You know, you poison the bad cells, but mainly you're also poisoning your whole body. So the Rambam says, if you have a bad midah that's destroying you, you have to do something wrong in order to fix it. You have to, quote unquote, poison your midah. So you have to do something bad in order that eventually you can completely destroy the bad midah and uproot it from your heart. And you go cold turkey. You can't just quit in moderation at this point. You know the old joke, they say, quitting smoking is easy. I've done it like a dozen times. Right? So it's very easy to do it. You do it all the time. Right? I never heard of a smoker. There are two types of smokers. There's some smokers who are currently in the process of quitting, and there's some smokers who are just clueless. I don't think there's a third type. I think there are two kinds of smokers. One smoker is, I am quitting. This is like my last one for the day. Like every smoker is quitting. You know, that's what they're doing because they understand. Or some people, they push it, have no asaga of reality, so they don't think about it. You know, that's the other type. But everyone understands that it's bad for you. But you can't say, you should realize, last week I smoked 2 packs. This is my only pack of the day. You know, I smoked 2 packs a day last week. So that they'll explain how they're really in the process of quitting. It doesn't work. You got to go cold turkey. You got to get rid of it. You understand? That's the way it works with midos too, says the Rambam. You have to uproot the bad midos from your heart. Is that the way to live? Absolutely not. That's the wrong way to live. But sometimes you have no choice. Sometimes you're stuck. And you're mired in a vicious cycle, and you've got to get yourself out of it. And that's where asceticism plays a role. That's where being a nazir is kedusha personified. Because there's one thing that's even more kadosh than just living a great life, and that is self-improvement. That is, we don't have time to go through the sources right now, but I could show you sources from the Rishonim who talk about a person who chooses to actively engage his taivas, actively engage his midos, he's going against the whole world. Right? I'll just give you one quick mushel. Right? There's so... I don't like to harp on this topic, but like, there's so much talk in the last 10 years or so about various types of arayos and various deviations from these types of arayos about whether or not it's considered normal, whether or not it's genetic, right? Whether it's psychological, and I think that people in the frum community get swept up in it a little too much, because I think we have to understand that even if you could come to the conclusion that it's absolutely genetic or psychological, I don't think psychological problems are any better or worse than genetic problems. Like, they're problems just the same, you know? Even if it's genetic, even if it's inborn, and you have every right to feel that way, that doesn't mean that you're not obligated to fight against your own self. It doesn't mean that a person is obligated to give in to his taivas vicariously. You have a certain taiva, you have certain desires, you're obligated to fight them, to try to do whatever you can to uproot those taivas from your heart. And it's not a new phenomenon. The Rishonim write, I can quote you from the Baal HaTurim, from others, they write, a person who goes and tries to actively fight his own midos and his own desires, he's mafli pelalasos. He's doing something wondrous. You know, we're talking about in the medieval times. We're not talking about today, where it's a dover pashut that everybody follows their taivas. But they were writing in the medieval times that everybody follows their taivas and nobody tries to fight their midos and try to improve themselves. Right? Nowadays, they have something called anger management. Right? So what's upshot anger management? Anger? We can't tell you to not get angry. That's kfira. You know, that's how you feel. How you feel is by definition the right thing. You know? Okay, you have to manage it. You can't go around killing people. You can't go around punching people. You can't mouth off to your boss. You know, but the Rambam is not saying that at all. He's saying uproot the anger from your heart. You got to get rid of it. Right? Easier said than done. But lemaisa, that's our job, right? Milanu gadol min agra, right? The Vilna Gaon, I don't know, I think Sammy was doing some Evan Shlema, he had an Evan Shlema over there. Look at the first sentence of the Evan Shlema, right? And it's not a book that he actually wrote, but okay, lemaisa, that's what got put there first. But all the words are his words. It's just malukat from different things that he wrote. But the first thing, he says, what are we doing here? What are we doing here, Lemaisa? If I stop 10 Jews on the street, I think all 10 will say the same answer. Someone asked the Vilna Gaon, what are we doing here on this earth? What's the answer? What's the answer that I'm going to get from all 10? 10 out of 10 Jews agree, right? The Vilna Gaon says, we're on this world to learn Torah, the end, right? That's not what he says. That's what I would have said the Gro would say, no? We're on this world to learn Torah at the end. Nothing left to talk about. Like, you're too busy learning to even talk about it. So what are we doing? Right? He says, no. We're in this world for Shviras Hamidos. That's what he says. We're in this world to improve our Midos. That's what the Gra says. Unbelievable. He says, that's what the Rambam is talking about here. That's why asceticism exists, and that's how you understand. That's how you can easily understand the Nodeb Yehuda. He's saying this guy has proven himself to be a tremendous Baal Taiva, tremendous Baal Avera, and he needs to break that. He needs to break out of that. It's 3 years of Arayos. You know, that's not something you solve easily. You need lots of fasts, lots of Sigufim, lots of. Now, he's not saying the super crazy stuff about actively banging your head against the wall or actively freezing yourself or hurting yourself or whatever. But he's saying fasting? Sure. Not sleeping in a bed? Sure. This is a person who clearly had an unhealthy relationship with his physical side. And he needs to fix it. And he needs to go to an extreme. Doesn't mean he necessarily recommends everybody else should start fasting all the time. It's hard to know because we're just dealing with one scenario. But okay, that's the Nodeb Yehuda's approach. I want to just close with a different approach. Oh, before we go to the different approach, along these lines, but not exactly, if you look in source number 5, you have the Meshech Chochma. Meshech Chochma gives a different shot as to why the Nazir brings a Chatas. Inyan Achatz B'Nazir U'Lefi She'Bitel Mimenu Kama Mitzvos Kimo Tumah L'Krovim. Number one, he didn't become Tameh, he didn't go to his relatives' funerals. Shu mitzvah saseh, that's a mitzvah saseh. You know, it'd be malava the mace. V'chein bitel kiddush v'avdol al yayin. Also, he didn't make kiddush and avdol on wine. V'impalo etzlo precious azu tova meshubach. If he got the results that he wanted from his precious, that's excellent. Avu mikol makom tzarech kapara. But he still needs some type of forgiveness. So that's a weird shot, no? It's a weird shot. He didn't make kiddush on the wine. First of all, what's the big deal? Right? So he didn't make kiddush on wine. He made kiddush on something else. Right? Or let's say he let his wife make kiddush. Right? Whatever it is. Or let's say he had a son who made kiddush for him. Or let's say he went to the neighbor's house to make kiddush. Like, that's a big avera that you need a karban chatas for. You need a karban chatas when you violate an iser karis, a shogig. Right? Is he bringing a karban chatas for this? I think the Meshech Chochma is saying something a lot deeper. He's saying that when he separates himself from wine, he's basically making a statement. When he separates himself from tumah, he's making a statement. What's he saying? Wine is bad. Tumah is bad. Therefore, I have to get away from it. And the answer that we give him is no, that's not true. Wine is not bad and tumah is not bad. Tumah, you know, when we talk about bad things, we call them tumah, right? Oh, that's tumah. You got to stay away from it. And that's obviously, it's a melitza, but tumah is not inherently bad because nothing Hashem created in this world is inherently bad. everything in this world can be used either for good or for bad. That's, you know, Mesilas Yesharim 101. He says everything Hashem created is for us to elevate it in a certain way. Now, obviously, there are certain things that are, it's much more obvious how they can be good, and certain things it's much more obvious how they can be bad. But even Torah itself, right? The Gemara says, L'mayninim ba, nasa sama dechaya, L'masmi'ilim ba, nasa sama demosa. Torah can be poison. Torah can be the elixir of life, and it can be poison. Depends what you do with it. Right? Everything in this world can be used for good and for bad. Again, it doesn't mean we should constantly be engaging in things that are generally used for bad so that we could chop a little bit of good here and there, but it means you have to have a certain attitude towards the reality. Tumah, you're right, tumah's mostly bad. But tumah, to go to your parents' funeral after Mayav Esrim, gevaldik. That's the right kind of tumah. You know, tumah of a meis mitzvah we're talking about today? That's the right kind of tumah, you know? So they say to somebody, sorry, I can't come over to your house. You're a Kohen and you're serving Truma and I'm Tamei. So sounds like that's bad. Ah, he's Tamei. Classic, that guy. You know, why? Because he was doing a Mace Mitzvah. He was carrying Yosef's bones. And that's the Gemara goes through the possibilities, right? Taking Nadav and Aviu out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, there could be, you know, there are far less holy things that one could be doing than becoming Tamei under those circumstances, right? Same thing with wine. You have mitzvos, kiddush al hakos, havdalah al hakos. These are chashuva mitzvos. Generally speaking, we don't assume that's doraisa. It's still drabanan. Chashuva, adding chashivas, benching al hakos. Right? These are important mitzvos that involve wine. Okay. So that's one approach. You have the other approach of the Ramban. The Ramban, just getting late, so the Kitzer version of the Ramban, this is by the Nazir also. And the Nazir, and the Ramban by the Nazir, check it out inside later, but he explains that the reason the Nazir has to bring a chatas is that he is doing something wrong. You know what he's doing something wrong? He's doing something wrong by stopping to be a Nazir. Meaning once you are a Nazir, you're raising your level of Kedusha. You're now living on a higher plane of existence than everybody else. And now that you come back, quote unquote, down to earth, with the Hamon Am, so that's like a violation. He doesn't use the Melitza, but Malim Bekodesh Velo Maridin. We're supposed to go up in Kedusha, not supposed to come down in Kedusha. And therefore, says this person needs a kapara for the fact that he's going back to normal. We, you know, if you're a Nazir, normal is a step down. You don't want to go back down to normal. And therefore, says the Ramban, he needs a kapara, he has to bring a korban chatas. That's the Ramban's take. So what you see here is the Ramban is not passing like Shmuel. He's passing like Rabbi Elazar. He's passing like the Chachamim against Rabbi Elazar HaKapar. That the Iker is to try to separate yourself from the physical, not temporarily as the Ramban would have you say it, but permanently would be better. Permanently would be better. And the Ramban talks like this many places, but one that applies to all, even if you don't fully accept the Ramban's approach, is his famous comment on Kedoshim Tiyu. What's Kedoshim Tiyu, right? That's one of the most cryptic statements that we have in the entire Torah. Hashem says, be holy, go, right? That's hard to know what to do. So the Ramban says, I'll tell you what to do. It means you should separate yourself even from those things which are mutter. Right? And he gives an example of the opposite of it. He gives an example of what we call a novel Bershus HaTorah. A novel Bershus HaTorah is a person who, don't get me wrong, the Rambam would not approve of this person either. He says, everything, whatever. Sometimes I'll go to a wedding, Baruch Hashem, I still get to go to a lot of weddings. Sometimes you go to a wedding or a simcha, and you look around and you're just like, it's too much. It's just too much. You know, and at a certain point, enough is enough. So, you know, what what do you have over there? You have, it's too much food, it's too much drink, it's too much music, it's too much everything. Like, it's just too much. Like, at a certain point, we have to say, like, and obviously everybody has a different point because it depends what you're used to and depends where you're coming from. Like, the person who made the simcha might think, like, it, compared to the people who make simchas in my block, this is the most toned down one you can have. You know, it depends. But, like, that's where we want to be constantly raising the bar. You know, that's, I don't know. But Lemaisi says, is the food kosher? It's des tashkoches. Did everyone bench and wash and everybody, you know, everything's kedasu kedin? Yes. But sometimes you just feel like, afal pichein. You know, he gives examples. He says a guy, he eats, he makes a bracha, he has the finest quality kashrus, but he's constantly stuffing his face, right? He marries multiple wives because he doesn't ever want to have to observe, he doesn't want to have to refrain himself because of taras hamishpacha. So he wants, there's always somebody who's mutter to him. You know, like, enough is enough already. That's not what you're here for. So he says, this person is a novel b'rishus HaTorah. He's a novel b'rishus HaTorah. He's too much, it's too much. Now again, this doesn't fully represent the Ramban's view that the more separation, the better. But Lemaisa, it's born out of that. That's the mitzvah of Kedoshim to you. And the Ramban sheet, it would be to not be a novel b'rishus HaTorah. But more than that, the more you can go away from that, then the better it is. Within, you know, reason, make sure. Now, there's a lot more to say about it in terms of you have to make sure that that's really the level that you're on. Because you can, I've seen it, you know, with, and I'm sure you can understand for yourself. There are people who pretend that they're on higher levels than they are. Not to pretend to the outside world, they pretend it to themselves. And when you pretend to yourself that you think that you're someone you're not, and you do things that you're not, that are not normal for you, you tend to crash and burn. You know, and I've seen it many times. You have to move on solid footing, right? That's why, that's where Rav Dessler points that out. He says, that's why when Yaakov Avinu looked up, how do you get the Shemayim? You get the Shemayim on a ladder. You don't get the Shemayim on a staircase. You don't get the Shemayim on a ramp. Why? Because a ladder, you don't have a choice. You don't jump rungs on a ladder. You jump rungs on a ladder, you end up crashing down at the bottom. You take it one rung at a time. You know, so that's the, but the Ramban would definitely be supportive of a more ascetic lifestyle than the Rambam would, and specifically, but certainly everyone would agree that you don't want to be novel b'rishus HaTorah. I just want to, you know, stay on the soapbox for one more second, which is something that I see at a lot of weddings, and I think it's just rampant in a little, not so much from my generation, but I think, you know, from, I would say that your generation and above, it's something that I see that I, among young married people who are, I think, are otherwise real B'nai Torah. I don't think that they're, you know, I don't think that they're fakers. I don't think that they're, you know, that I think that this is just a major problem. The amount, I don't know, somebody along the way took a bottle of booze and he stuck a beard and payas on it and he made it like a frum thing to do. Like that drinking is somehow, some way related to Avodas Hashem on some planet. Like, I'm not talking about a person who wants to make Kiddush. I'm not talking about a person who wants to enjoy a glass of wine or even two with a Shabbos meal. I'm talking about a person, you know, drinking to the point of inebriation, especially at simchas in public. It's embarrassing. You're embarrassing the Torah. Like, it's embarrassing because nowadays the levush is also more common than it used to be. Like, it used to be nowadays, like, people, again, the world is a showier place. See social media, etc. Like, it's normal for people. What people my age think is too showy, the rest of the world thinks is normal, and that's fine. I recognize that I'm, you know, a grumpy old man, so it's okay. But like, but Lemaisa, people, when they step up the level of levush and they step up the level of how they look, they're also advertising to the world that they're B'nai Torah. And to, you know, to demonstrate, you know, basically to make it a davar pashut that any time you go to a simcha, your wife is going to be the one driving home. I don't think that's appropriate. I don't think that's, every single time you go to a wedding, it's understood you're going to be too drunk to drive home. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't drive home. But there is another choice. There is another choice. You know, I don't know. I just, it was not the case when I was a kid. It was not the case. It was not, if you were Ben Torah, you were not, maybe you were having one drink, you know, you could have a cocktail or whatever, a drink or something, you know, just to enjoy the flavor, to enjoy whatever, but like, to say that you can't be besimcha, without it is scary. If you think about it, that's alcoholism 101. That you can't really enjoy a simcha without being somewhat inebriated. That's what it means to be, you know, that's what it means to be depressed. That's what it means to be addicted to something. You know, and that's a little bit, that's not appropriate. You know, and that's big. You say, what, he didn't make a shakol, he didn't make a bar priya gafen, he's not going to make an ala gefen at the end? No, he will. But that's a novel b'shus haTorah. It's not acceptable. And, you know, some people say, no, it's a more chassidish mahalach. Yeah, I don't think I saw all the big rebbes doing that. You know, like, I think the big rebbes were busy learning and helping other Jews and, you know, doing chashuva things. I don't think they were, you know, they hit the open bar quite so hard. You know, so I don't buy it. It's not appropriate. And along those lines, just to close with the Gemara, Gemara in Yevamis has a similar phrase. Amar le Rava kol she'ina makayim. We'll keep going. We'll skip to the next one just because the other statement was taken a little out of context. Ela amar Rava kadesh atzmecha b'mutr lecha. You should sanctify yourself with that which is mutter to you, meaning by avoiding that which is mutter. By taking upon extra things, you could become more kadosh by even avoiding those things which are mutter. So you see, there is certainly room within the Jewish tradition for more asceticism, for more, you know, for more refraining from mutter things. And that's viewed either, according to the Rambam, as a hechitimtza to get somewhere, but the real way to live is in the middle path. And according to the Ramban, it's something where it's really a lifestyle that you're trying to adapt. So what comes out of it is it's really a machlokas, how you understand the Nazir. And it becomes a machlokas Tanoim, which becomes a machlokas Amoraim, which becomes a machlokas Rishonim. And really, Adayom Hazeh, the matter has not been settled. And really, I think, even within the Rishonim, the Ram versus the Ramban, it's really those who are more Kabbalistically inclined. They tend to take the approach of asceticism as being a very positive thing unto itself, whereas those who are more rationally inclined tend to take the approach of the Rambam, that no, you want to be in midos, you want to be in the middle path. Doesn't mean that people who learn Kabbalah don't like the Rambam's mahalach. It doesn't mean that people who are not so Kabbalistic don't like the Ramban. It just means that this is part of the, you know, there is no answer, quote unquote, what's the answer? What's Judaism's approach? There is no one approach to this matter in Judaism. Obviously, it don't even have to be super consistent throughout. You could say that, you know, once in a while, I want to separate myself from something because I feel like it's going to help me with Kedusha, but most of the time, I'm a Rambam type of guy that I, you know, I try to take the middle path in certain things. Really, you'll know what kind of person you are intuitively, I feel, you know, more so than somebody telling you. But anyway, I think that's a little bit of a rundown of the topic.